الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. لرسول سيد درود شريف، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. مولاي صلي وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Most respected علماء اكرام, our most respected elders, dear brothers, young friends, and our mothers and sisters listening over the online platforms. For today's short discussion, I've come across an article or a lecture that was given by a great scholar of Islam, Mufakkir al-Islam, Sheikh Abu al-Hasan Ali al-Nadwi, rahimahumullah. Before the month of Ramadan, he was requested to give some advices that would be beneficial and that would help people to be objective in the month of Ramadan. And this is the actual purpose, this is the actual reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this auspicious month, inshallah, that will be coming to us in a few days, is so that we could set right our purpose, we can become objective, and we can prioritize our lives in accordance to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. So we will look at a few points from that particular article and that lecture, and we will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us, to help us, and to let us see the month of Ramadan in a manner that Ramadan reaches us when we are happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are prepared to embrace the month of Ramadan. This particular piece that I will read from gives us an overview of what the month of Ramadan presents. And in essence, the month of Ramadan really is the beginning of a new life for each and every one of us. When a person comes into this world, it is the beginning of life. When a person reaches the age of puberty, it is the beginning of another phase of life. A person starts a new phase of life. And like that, when a person, he qualifies, he gets a profession, he gets married, he begins a family, that can be considered another phase of life, a new life. And like that, a person goes and performs Hajj, and he returns from Hajj as a newborn baby, that can be regarded the beginning of a new life. And so the ulama ikram write that Ramadan al-Mubarak also presents an opportunity for a person to begin a new lease of life. And every year Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this new beginning, Allah gives us this new life, Allah gives us this beautiful opportunity. And it is upon us to reflect that in my life Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me 30 Ramadans, Allah has given me 40 Ramadans, Allah has given me 50, 60, 70 Ramadans. And how well have I done in these Ramadans, and how much have I achieved? And of course, each Ramadan presents itself with a new opportunity, with a fresh opportunity. So therefore, the writer says that isn't it fascinating how Ramadan arrives like an unseen force, quietly yet powerfully breaking the patterns we have built around ourselves all year long. For 11 months, we move through life on autopilot. The same routines, the same cravings, the same endless chase for more, the dunya wraps itself around us so tightly that we begin to forget that we are even. Subhanallah, Ramadan can be considered to be a disruptor, a beneficial disruptor. Ramadan comes to give us, or rather Ramadan comes or brings discomfort. Ramadan brings discomfort. But if we really look at it more closely, it actually brings discomfort to give us real comfort, so that we understand what the meaning of true comfort is, what the meaning of true peace is. Because we live in an illusion that the comfort that we enjoy in this world, the pleasures that we are enjoying, the entertainment that we are enjoying, all of this is comfort. All of this is happiness. And Ramadan comes to break that mindset. It comes to make us uncomfortable. It comes to take us out from illusion to reality. And therefore, we find that when Ramadan comes, it is like a crack in the fabric of this illusion. It doesn't ask for permission. And that is why we are urged and encouraged to prepare for Ramadan, create the right psyche and mindset for Ramadan al-Mubarak. Because now we can adjust our routine willfully. We can do it deliberately. We can do it mindfully.
In Ramadan, it will come to us as an order, as an obligation. And therefore, if we are accustomed to this, then it will be easy for us to adjust. So Ramadan doesn't ask for permission. It simply interrupts. And it forces you to wake up before the world wakes up. It silences your desires. It rewires your daily rhythm. And in this disruption, something extraordinary happens. A hidden doorway begins to open. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the barakat of Ramadan, Allah heightens our consciousness. Allah unblocks the receptors of the heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the a'mal-e arba, the four exercises of Ramadan, the four spiritual programs of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates the freedom of the soul. Allah creates the clarity of the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a realization to each person. And what is that? Firstly, in Ramadan, you eat less. Then you sleep less. Then you speak less. And you mix less. These are the four aspects that Ramadan facilitates for us. And in essence, this is a reduction of the physical intake and consumption of the world. It is a reduction of feeding the body and the physical elements of a person's existence. And it is an increase and an enhancement in the spiritual nourishment of the soul. And this is how Ramadan al-Mubarak works. This is what Ramadan al-Mubarak is premised upon. This is what Ramadan al-Mubarak comes to teach us. That reduce your physical intake. Learn to be able to strike a balance. To detach yourself from that which is giving you endless pleasure. And attach yourself to that which will give you real comfort. So the a'mal-e arba'a, a person through fasting, the siyam and the qiyam of Ramadan, these are the two wings of Ramadan, the siyam and the qiyam. Siyam and qiyam. Majority of the time of Ramadan is spent in these two acts. A person is either fasting or a person is standing in front of Allah. If he's not standing in front of Allah, he's fasting. When he's not fasting, he's standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it proves, Ramadan proves to us that comfort does not lie in that which we perceive to be comfort. Ramadan proves to us that comfort lies in reducing our attachment to the world, in our consumption, and in that which we believe to give us happiness. So therefore, firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reduces. And in reduction also there is a lesson. In that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not cut us off completely from our supply of nourishment. There could have been an order for tarke ta'am. Tarke ta'am means abandon food altogether. Abandon all nourishment. And there was a time when fasting was that. That there was no allowance for eating at all. The fast was a 24/7 fast. And we learn also from the narratives of the mashayikh and the great Sufis that when they exercised mujahada and when they used to exercise themselves in spiritual upliftment and development, they used to make tarketa. They used to cut themselves off from physical nourishment. Of course, they had the physical ability to do that in those days. They had a different body and they were wired different. How they did it, obviously, that was according to that time and era. But in this also is a lesson for us to say that in Islam there is moderation and balance, that we won't work on abandonment. So we cut out the physical the supply of nourishment, and then we cut out the sleep. Something that we are quite accustomed to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reduces the hours. Naturally, automatically, a person has to sleep less. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls upon a person to speak less. And this is an exercise of Ramadan which we must do consciously. That there are periods when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates a mandatory period where we cannot speak. And when is that? If we look at the Taraweeh Salah, a person comes for Taraweeh, and that is why Taraweeh is so important. And that is why it feeds the soul so much. It is the Qiyam. After the Siyam is the Qiyam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to give us a break. There is no comfort. It's discomfort. It's uncomfortable for the body. It is uncomfortable for the physical side. But it is bringing a heightened consciousness, and it is freeing the soul and the heart. And so when a person stands in Taraweeh Salah, a person comes to listen. He does not come to speak. Human nature, our mind is such, we want to talk. I want to have my say. I've got my opinion. I want to tell everyone what I think. I want to tweet what I want to say. It's a human preference, or it's a human nature. It's human nature. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Ramadan, learn the skill, learn the ability to listen. In psychology, listening is regarded to be one of the most profound and prolific abilities. If a person does not know how to listen, a person will not be able to manage his relationships properly. And this is why we find in our community today, there is so much of conflict. Conflict is based on a person's intolerance, inability to listen, inability to tolerate, inability to accept. And when we look at the technique of listening in psychology, we find there are different levels of listening. Listening is not mere hearing. When we are sitting in meetings, when we are sitting with people, when we are sitting with family, generally we find the one level of listening is to respond. We're just hearing what that person is saying so that we can hit back, so that we can talk back. So we're not listening to what the person is saying. We're not processing what the person is saying. We are merely listening to the words that the person is uttering so that we can get back. That's the primary level, the first level of hearing. Then you get a level of hearing where a person is inattentive. Words are just flowing into his ears. They are not really being processed, they're not being understood, they're not being appreciated, and therefore the outcome of that is a person is not responding effectively. A person is reactive. There is a difference between responding and reacting. And most of the time we are being reactive in our communication and in our relationships. And that is the cause of all the trouble. And then you have a level of listening where a person listens. And he listens for meaning. He listens attentively. He's empathetic. He's able to grasp what this person is trying to convey. And then when this person responds, then he's effective. It's influential. It's impactful. And then there is another level of listening. Allahu Akbar. The level of the Anbiya alayhimus salam, my dear friends. They would listen so attentively that they could listen to what the person has not said. Every person is not as articulate to be able to articulate himself and convey everything that he wants to say. A person has a lot to say in his heart, but he cannot express himself. And that is why one great sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is to help a person to speak, to help a person to articulate his case and his point, to assist a person to be able to convey what the person wants to say. And when a person listens deeply, attentively, consciously, then that person is able to listen to that what has not been said. So my dear friends, the month of Ramadan is not about sari and iftar, and just about going through a routine, and and just about passing the time. But the month of Ramadan is a month of consciousness. If we just take the aspect of listening, and therefore Allah Ta'ala in Ramadan is training us that when you come for Taraweeh, don't come with having overeaten. Don't come with a heavy belly. Don't come such that your mind is half dulled out already. And you cannot listen to the words of the Quran Al-Kareem consciously. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to listen to the Quran Al-Kareem not for one night. But you have come and listened on night one. Come and do the same thing on night two, and night three, and night 10, and night 15, and night 20. And as the nights go, and as you listen, heighten that consciousness, deepen that consciousness, unblock the receptors. The process is taking place. And therefore, what is most powerful about Ramadan is how subtle the shift is. It is not just like taking your car for a car wash, and they just zoot the thing onto there, and they wash the car, and they shine it in a few minutes, and you're out. The cleansing and the purification of Ramadan and Mubarak is powerful, but it is very subtle. It is a very subtle shift. It doesn't happen through grand moments, a grand moment of revelation, or a grand moment of realization. But Ramadan comes in small, almost invisible moments of rewiring of the soul. It is in the stillness of suhoor. It is in the heaviness of the empty stomach at the time of asr. And it is in the vulnerability of whispered du'as at night. Each act, no matter how small, is quietly breaking the chains you didn't even know were there. Through reduction in eating, through reduction in sleeping, through reduction in speaking, and through reduction in interaction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about a reduction in interaction. And that is why in the month of Ramadan, if we conduct ourselves in opposition to these four priorities, then we are going to throw water over what Ramadan wants us to achieve. Ramadan wants us to be able to manage and control our ikhtilat and the way that we interact with people, or the time that we spend with people. And if we are going to use the minutes and the hours of Ramadan, if we are going to give allowance to ourselves to find time to meet with people more than we need to meet, then we are defeating a very important purpose of Ramadan. If Ramadan is teaching us to listen and to speak less, and if we are going to look for opportunities to speak more, then we are also throwing water over the benefit of Ramadan and Mubarak. So my dear friends, Ramadan reminds us that we are not what we consume. We are not what our desires and habits and distractions tell us that we are. We are something far more powerful and dynamic. We are a soul that is on a journey back to its creator. And if this realization dawns to each soul, and may Allah Ta'ala bless me and bless you and bless all of us in Ramadan, that we are a soul on a journey back to our creator. That journey has traveled us. And may Allah give us another opportunity. And may Allah give us more opportunities. But there will be a time when it will be the final opportunity, when there will be no further opportunity. And therefore, let us utilize each opportunity as though it is the last opportunity that we have. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he encouraged the Sahaba to focus and to have presence in Salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, Salli Salata Muwadda'i. Perform each Salah like it is your last Salah. Perform each Salah like it is your last Salah. And regard each Jumu'ah as your last Jumu'ah. And regard each Ramadan as your last Ramadan. And Ramadan is actually a picture of life. As much as it is a lease to a new life, a new spiritual life, Ramadan al-Mubarak is a picture of a new life. We have three thirds in Ramadan. The first third, the second third, and the third third. And we know what these three thirds represent. And a person's life in this world can be broken down into three thirds. And the first third of the life of a person is youth, it's energy, it's adulthood. And we find that in the month of Ramadan also, the energy is high. Everyone is doing things. We are moving in the first 10 days of Ramadan. And then the middle 10 days of Ramadan, there is a slump. Generally, there is a slump. And again, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from laziness and lethargy in the month of Ramadan. We got to cut off these chains. And this is what Ramadan comes to do, to release us from these chains of laziness, of lethargy, of the slumps that we experience. And we find that the middle part of the life of a person, he becomes enchanted with the dunya. He becomes so engrossed with the world and wealth that there is a slump in his spirituality and there is an engrossment with dunya and world and materialism. We see how Ramadan matches. And then the last 10 days of Ramadan, we find that there is somewhat of a revival. And when a person comes towards the last part of his life, generally, may Allah grant us realization, there is somewhat of a realization that I think my life is coming to an end. My bones are telling me that, my muscles are telling me that, my breathing is telling me that, my lungs are telling me that, my heart is telling me that my life is coming to an end. And Ramadan is telling us that. And therefore we find that towards the end of Ramadan there is a revival. And then we have the last 10 nights and we have Laylatul Qadr. So my dear friends, the long and short of everything is that Ramadan will come and Ramadan will go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, Allah give us understanding, Allah give us heightened consciousness, Allah give us tawfiq and guidance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the month of Ramadan for us. Allahumma sallimna li Ramadan. Wa sallim Ramadan lana. And let the month of Ramadan go well in that we are able to meet the demands of Ramadan. We are able to meet the consciousness that Ramadan requires from us. Ramadan requires a heightened consciousness of the soul. Ramadan requires us to be spiritually listening. Ramadan requires for us to speak with consciousness. And Ramadan requires us to open our eyes of spirituality. And let the heart begin to be receptive to what Ramadan al-Mubarak comes to and brings for us. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant me, grant you, and grant the entire ummah to make this Ramadan a really fruitful and beautiful one. Wa salli wa sallim ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad wa ashabihi wa rahmatullahi.